Welcome to the investor meet of Adore Wedding. Today we are joined by Aditya sir, our MD, Mr. Suryakant Sethia, our CFO, and myself Shirish. Mr. Harish Ladwani, who is also the MD of Adore Contact, has also joined us from Bangalore. So if you have any questions, you can also ask him. So we'll start with a presentation which will be given by Aditya sir. Then we can start the Q&A session.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to attend. We have a short presentation. We'll go through it. Mr. Ladwani is on the call. However, this is primarily an Adore Wedding call. It's just that since the companies are going through the process of merger, we have asked him to also be there in case there's anything relevant that needs to be discussed at that time. However, this call will be primarily from the Adore Wedding perspective. I'm going to run through a presentation fairly fast in terms of the data and stuff, and then leave it open to any questions that might arise. This is not just go next and anything.
Yeah, now you can.
Now, is this working?
This is a disclaimer.
All right, disclaimers. Okay, so I presume most of you would have studied the results. I think this is fairly straightforward in terms of what we had in the third quarter. The more important part being in terms of the expansion, in terms of margin, which is what was something that we've been focusing a lot on and trying to drive that all together. In terms of general demand, it still remains to be quite robust and no indications of anything differing from what we saw in terms of Q3 and all of that. And I think the budget, most of you will know much better than me, seems to be outlaying the capex that should be fairly positive for us as well. Fairly standard again in terms of the margin percentages and all of that that we talked of the last time we had a call in terms of how we need to keep working on improving all of those and the return on capital employed. Working capital, of course, tracking all of that, as well as what are the main concerns that come up and how we are making sure that we manage the working capital cycle, especially with the growing part of the businesses in all the verticals taking place at the moment. I think you have to admit someone. Okay, segment-wise performance, this gives you an overview in terms of the consumables and the sort of growth rate and all of that that we've been, sorry, this has gone to concern consumables, gives you an overview of exactly what we've been talking about, that this key driver of the business and what we've been looking at tracking on that account, as well as the results on that basis. If you remember in Q2, we had talked of the inventory hangover that did hurt from that perspective. And most of that has sort of evened itself out and now is on the right path in terms of the margin percentages. Similarly, on equipment, as we keep making the effort to grow this, the margin results more and more, and as the capex outlay is good, we're seeing a lot of demand coming in from that area. We're focused on ensuring that these towers sort of start moving a little bit more upward, as well as the margin comes closer to where it was approximately a year ago. The last thing I wanted to highlight, which was important, is the Adore International business. As I mentioned before, this has been a key focus area in terms of driving the business. And we're starting to see the results. There's a lot of opportunity that's sitting over there. And I'm very happy to say that team is delivering on that and seems to be robust going ahead as well, especially in select key markets that we have gone into. The players in process equipment division, a lot of questions always come over here. We're starting to see the turnaround starting to bear fruit over here. And going forward for the next few quarters, based on the order book we have, based on all of the cleanups that have been done, all of the execution that's happened, we feel more confident in terms of the margin percentages, the working capital requirement, as well as the sales that will come going ahead from here. The merger, just to give a quick overview, is the application has been filed with NCLT and hopefully it won't take too long. I don't have a guesstimate on it right now, but you all will be aware exactly how long these things normally take in NCLT, and we are following the due process accordingly. These are some of the new products we've had, some of the more focused in Make in India, a range of products, as well as on certifications and all of that that have been going on. And now I'll leave it open to question answers because I know most of you have gone through this already, and we'll take questions one by one in terms of everything in that account. So thank you very much for that. Go ahead.
Okay. So one by one, we'll open for questions. So I'll read out the guidelines first. Due to the time constraints, we would be limiting a maximum of 2 to 3 questions per participant. Please be quick and precise with your questions. I will stress that this is a very important point because we won't have much time. Please avoid asking questions already answered or covered in the presentation. Anyone interested in asking questions are requested to put their names and organization in the chat box. stating their desire to ask questions, and it will be answered in sequence of receiving names in the chat box. The end time of meeting will be at 5:30 p.m., irrespective of number of questions pending, and I request you to please adhere to this timeline. Just to be clear, this call will be recorded for compliance purpose.
Hey, thanks. You can take off the sharing of the presentation. Let's give it open to questions and all of that.
Good evening, everyone. So the first speaker for today is Mr. Viraj Mehta. Mr. Mehta, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Thank you so much. Congratulations, Aditya. A couple of questions. Can you break up the growth in terms of volume and realization for 3 months and 9 months in consumable division?
Okay.
That was the first question. Second, if you look at the segmental margins of the consumable division, they look significantly higher than our historical margins. Do you think there is any one-off in these margins, or it is just operating leverage helping us in this business? The third question is regarding the EPC order that we got from not EPC, but basically the orders that we got from ONGC. Is there any contribution from that in this quarter? And what is the revenue you see from that business in Q4 and next year? And generally, if you would just guide us a little bit in terms of volume and revenue growth you see for FY24.
Okay, thanks, Viraj. Let me quickly try and answer a few of these. So if you recall, I think I would have discussed it at the end of Q2 as well, that the volume growth because of Q1, because of what happened with the entire steel prices and everything like that that happened in Q1, volumes are actually dipped in terms of Q1. We've kind of got it back on track in terms of Q2. We are having volume growth at the moment. Q3 did see volume growth versus the year before. I think the volume growth would have been in the region of 7% is what we were looking at in terms of volume growth in the last 3 months. And we sort of see that going forward as well. From whatever I can see, I don't like to take a very long-term view, especially based on volatility, supply chain, all those other things you all know about. But I think that seems to be sustainable going forward. So we're kind of buoyant by that and kind of happy to have seen that. The margins in consumables is not a one-off. It's what I consistently expect at a level that we should see going forward. That's what we've been trying. I've been telling when we had an analyst meet, everything like that, that we did understand where the concerns were and had to follow a step-by-step process to get ourselves back up there. So the operating leverage is playing a game. Plus, we're able to understand the learning curve in terms of, you know, how steel prices are moving, stuff like that, and how we can price ourselves in the market. So we are trying to ensure that is consistent. It's not a one-off. ONGC revenues have not yet started. They will start from this quarter. And they will start from this quarter at about, I would say about 7-8% of the order value should be in this quarter itself. And then moving forward, most of it, 80% of it, 75-80% of it should be over the course of next financial year. And then leading the balance into the term after that. So you will start to see that kick in from Q4 onwards. It hasn't yet started. I'm not going to give you a guidance per se for next year. We're in the middle of figuring out our numbers for next year, and a lot of it depends on steel consumption, volatility, all of those different factors. But we do expect there to be the sort of volume growth that we are seeing at the moment. Would sort of be a baseline level that we'd be looking at going forward. I hope that answers some of your questions.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much. Anything on equipment? Would you like to add some color? How is it doing? Are you seeing newer products introduction?
Yeah, we've got a few products that are coming in. We've got a few large-scale orders that are coming in from large customers as well. Challenges in supply chain have been there. Are easing. So that also helps a little bit. The order book is kind of decent. The market is good for it at the moment, and we have to keep running with it. We're also seeing the Addo international market pick up a little bit for that. So all in all, in general, okay, not bad.
Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you. Go ahead, whoever's next, please go ahead. Yeah.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Jason. Mr. Jason, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking my question. So just wanted to know from the earlier participants, well, you know, in terms of traction in the equipment segment, how are we looking at it? And just want to know, what is the percentage of imports, sir, in this whole equipment segment, ballpark number?
So just to give you an overview, we are the largest Indian manufacturer of welding equipment. Mm-hmm. A very, very large chunk of it is imported. Mm-hmm. As per our data, 80-odd% would be imported. And we play a very significant role in the domestic market. And we believe that's a very big strength of ours. It has its own challenges, of course, but we strengthen the product accordingly, strengthen our supply chain accordingly. And I think over time, simple Make in India story and, you know, sort of the preference towards it will definitely keep playing a role. That's our long-term opinion of it. We don't want to just be, you know, trading in it. We want to be manufacturers of it, have the strong technology parts that we do. If you look at the technology, we sort of play around with what we call like a technology pyramid in the welding equipment space. I say we are in the mid segment. If you were to divide the pyramid, we fairly play in the mid segment. There's a top end of the pyramid, which is very driven by European or Western companies that are very strong in that. And I think we don't fiddle faddle too much with that. We have a certain product range and a customer base for it, but we don't eat into that market too much at the moment. The low end market, which is catered from imports, as well as the mid-segment market has imports, but the low end of market of imports, some part we can play in. We again pick and choose where it makes sense to do it. But the mid part, which is quite a strong middle belt, has a lot of opportunity. So our game plan is to keep working on that. But imports is a very, very significant part of that market.
Okay, sure. Thanks for that. And just would want to know, of course, this has been, you know, the CapEx cycle is on an up move, and this is fairly broadly known, you know, from a consensus perspective as well. Just wanted to know in terms of, we of course cater to a host of industries. So just wanted to know in terms of sub-segments, where are you looking at a lot of traction on the ground?
So like it's the same answer pretty much to what I said last meeting is also that the general infra, the heavy engineering, railways is playing a very strong role. A lot of fabrication sort of work that's going on, it seems to be good. So I think those are the very big drivers of what we're seeing. I'd say, you know, general infra companies are definitely doing it, and railways, I would say, are the highlights in terms of that. Then the rest of it keeps playing out. You know, then you'll have your oil and gas, and then you'll have your cement. In fact, there's a lot of cement expansion talk that is going on. Where we see that going forward to be a big role for us in the next financial year. In fact, we're expecting cement expansion to play a good role for us as well. Steel expansion has been announced. A little bit of that should also play a role going ahead. So I think it's generally in that path. And the easiest way, rather than me tell you, is if you just look at how steel consumption is happening, because we follow that. That's probably better tracked than the welding industry is. We'll give you a fair perspective of that.
Sure. And so this volume growth, which you mentioned, was 7% for the last 3 months. Is that right? Did I get the number right?
Yeah.
Three months is approximately
10 to 11%. Sorry. Yeah. So 10 to 11% for the last 3 months. Yeah. Sorry.
So 10 to 11% for the last quarter. And I think 9 months, are you saying it is 6 to 7%?
9 months, it's flattish because of Q1 was down a bit. 9 months, it's fairly flattish.
Yeah.
9 months is fairly flattish. But the last 3-4 months is a better. If you ask me, in all our meetings right now, we don't look too much beyond before July, because from the period April to July, things were just very, very volatile. So we study data now mainly from August till Jan to get a sense of what is happening. So that's more relevant data to us.
So 10-11% is what it's good for this quarter.
I don't want to get into the exact math numbers. Yeah, okay. We're all right on that account, sort of on that. Yeah, but I think, I would say 7-8 is a little more, you know, sort of ballpark.
Sure. So, and just wanted to know, I mean, you did mention that, you know, of course, we are targeting the mid segment in the equipment sector, in the equipment segment. So just wanted to know, of course, ESAB is a large player there and has a significant, you know, market share edges as well, advantage over us. So is there anything more we can do in that segment to basically scale up that equipment base?
I won't comment on them in any way, but there is scope for us to keep increasing our equipment base for sure. I think there's a leveraging opportunity that will come through the merger as well. Mm-hmm. There is service opportunity leverage that will come. I think there's just a question of the preference for a robust Indian made product is definitely coming out. I think there were supply chain issues that are also getting ironed out, so that should that should help a lot going forward. So that's it. I mean, primarily from that account.
Okay, and lastly, just wanted to know this from the FPED segment perspective. You won a large order. Any more orders in the pipeline? How are you looking things on that front?
Yeah, so, you know, it's very simple because I think it'll come on a lot of people's minds. It's very, very simple and important to understand the FPD market for us is, yes, we do have a few more things that are being tracked and a few more things that are hopefully going to come about quite soon. They're not going to be the 130, 140 crore orders, which is what we talked of. It doesn't need to go always that range. It can be the sweet spot of between 10 to 30 and sort of make sure our margins are correct, our working capital is correct, all of that is being followed correctly. We expect revenue to grow quite significantly next year, and we definitely need to build up the order book for the year after that to keep taking it forward as well. So I think we're on track for what we want to do there. There is no plan to say, I want to go 5X over here. There's a plan that says, okay, I got to grow it step by step using this base order that we have now to take us there and execute that order correctly. Make sure we get the margin we're projecting on that correctly. So that's the way we're looking at it at the moment. But I think we've got the pipeline is encouraging. It's definitely encouraging.
Okay. Thanks a lot for taking my questions.
Thank you.
So the next speaker for today is Mr. Dhwanil Desai. Mr. Desai, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please ask your questions.
Hi, Aditya.
Hi.
Good afternoon. Yeah. So the first question is, if we look at the journey in last 2-3 years, we have kind of streamlined a lot of things, both at operational level, financial level, everything. So now the economic environment is in our favor. And so are we aspiring for slightly higher growth than, let's say, 12-15% growth? And a pertinent question to that on the consumable side is that how easy or difficult it is to take market share? Because, if we want to grow at a higher pace than market, then we need to take market share. Is it a fair possibility, and what are we doing to, take higher market share?
So let me try and answer this, but I'm not going to be as specific as you want me to be, but I'm going to try and answer it as best possible. Yes, we do want to outperform the market. That's very much exactly what we're geared towards and what we're working towards. So everything we do is about how do we outperform in terms of what the market growth rate is. So there are two or three things that need to be kept very well structured to make that happen. The key product lines that drive the market growth have to be sort of your distribution has to be well set up for it. The product approvals and all of that have to be in place. So we've been driving a lot of that. And that's the sort of traction we're seeing in Q3 and going forward, a little bit to be helping in that front. So I think we will see consumables sort of have the opportunity to outperform a little bit. And we've been encouraging that a lot to happen from that angle. To take market share or not is a very subjective question in an industry where you don't track it that closely. And there are very few publicly listed companies. It's not only us versus the other publicly listed company. We have other competitors who are privately listed as well. So it's not so easy for me to keep jumping up and down and say, yeah, we grab this and we grab that. It's a question of what do we see steel consumption moving at? How are we growing that altogether? Where are the markets and the pockets in which we are kind of outperforming? Where are we underperforming? So it's a very vague kind of thing, but you can definitely say that the ambition and drive and the processes we are putting in place is towards outperforming that.
Got it. Very useful. And second question on export. I think in the presentation you showed that quarter on quarter export is actually doing very well. So we are already at quarterly 18 crore kind of a run rate, which I think is a fantastic number. We are almost on a full year basis. If you look at it, it's 70-72 crore. We are kind of inching towards that number. So next year, are you saying that, you know, even on this year basis, we can grow at 50-60% on this year's base, whatever it might be?
Yeah, we should grow. We should end up this year growing at approximately 60%. I think by the end of it, when we clock it out, we should be at about 60% growth versus last year. And I think the base is still small enough that you can still be talking of, you know, 40-50% growth in terms of that. Yeah.
Okay, great. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
So the next speaker for today is Ms. Saloni Hemnani. Ms. Saloni, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Hi, Aditya.
Hi.
My first question is regarding the Flares division. So last to last quarters, it was mentioned in the PPT that the orders in hand are 31 crore, which has increased from 31 to 134. So currently, what is the order in hand in Flares? And I would like to understand more on the execution timeline when it comes to these this division specifically.
So I presume the number you're referring to is prior to our call, because this order came in June. July.
Yeah.
So I presume you're referring to prior to that. In June, July, we managed to get a flare order from ONGC at Uran. Which is pretty much a very interesting order for us to take forward. That order being a large order is 130 crores or whatever it is, 120 crores, is approximately anywhere from an 18-month sort of up-down, 18 to 24-month type of execution from July of 22, with the bulk of it happening over next year. Typically, these orders vary. As I said, they can be in the sweet spot of 10 to 20 crores, 10 to 30 crores. And we have a few more lined up that are supposed to click quite soon. They could range anywhere from approximately a 4 to 6 month cycle in terms of execution, with the larger ones obviously being more.
Okay. I'm aware that this question has already been asked in the previous con calls, but I would still like to understand in layman terms, basically, the distinction between how we are trying to prevent what used to earlier happen in the project engineering regarding, you know, the stretching of the working capital. So why exactly have you re-entered into this? And how is it different basically from
So I'll rewind a little bit. So the first notion is, let me tell you, it's not a re-entry. So let me step back a few paces and you'll have to bear with me while I tell you the story, and hopefully that'll make sense. The first is that the project and we've always been as a company in the flares business since the 1980s. It was a division that's been there. It was a very tiny division. It was just doing flares. What happened is sometime in the last, between the years of 2014, 2012, 13 and 2018, 19, we started moving towards an EPC or a project engineering business, where we started taking on contract jobs that were not only flare engineering oriented. They were jobs that were beyond flares, and you were doing sort of EPC kind of work. And as I mentioned in previous calls, it wasn't enough engineering work in it. It was more just execution kind of work. So your working capitals would get bloated up. The margins would be thin, and it was sort of inflating revenue in a certain sense. I wouldn't say inflating is not the right word. You were working towards a revenue model rather than you were working towards the metrics of bottom line and working capital and stuff like that. September 2020, when we changed things and we decided to re-look at it, and we weren't happy as a board with the direction in which it was going, we basically said that this division first needs to clean itself up and needs to stop doing just this top line heavy and cash intensive work, and needs to go back to its roots of doing engineering related work, which primarily is in the space of flares and process equipment. Hence, we renamed it all from the project engineering business, which is very generic, to going flares and process equipment work. We built a new team and then looked at it as a very design and very value addition sort of oriented division. It then cleaned itself up. We had to clean up a lot of the stuff that y'all would have seen in the prior financials and all of that. And then we said, okay, let's go back to the drawing board and see what are we good at? What can we pick up step by step? And that's where we started bidding approximately, I would say, sometime in March, April of 21. Or Q1, let's say April to June of Q1, we started getting ourselves together, going, okay, now what are the projects we want to look at? What are the flare-oriented work that is going to come our way? What is the process equipment work where we are adding engineering value coming? And then we started the bidding cycle, and that happened. And then we bid for the projects that you are seeing, like one of them that's come in. So it's not a re-entry at all. It's basically just a cleanup process that says, go back to where you're strong in that regard. The order that came in July of 2022 is 6 months or 8 months of work leading into it. So we had been on it for some time. And now going forward, we remain very committed to it because it's a good opportunity. I think we can do it correctly. It will require a capital outlay, but I think it can be done correctly given our engineering value addition in it. I hope that helps in some way.
Yes, that does. So my last question is regarding the exports division, where you are mentioning that there's a lot of traction. I just wanted to get an understanding on what is basically in this export division, like 18 crores of export this quarter included exactly the equipment part. So which segment is being more focused in the exports?
Welding consumables and welding equipment, and welding consumables will account for approximately 85% of that sale. 10 to 15% would be on the equipment front.
All right. Thank you so much. That answers my question.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Chandresh Malpani. Mr. Chandresh, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Hello.
Hello. We can't hear you, sir. You have to be a little louder.
Hello. Audible?
Yeah, now. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, now you can go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you and congratulations on the good set of numbers. So basically, sir, I want to ask on the flash division. So on Q1, we achieved 13% margin. Q2, we achieved 0%. Quarter, we achieved again 14. So what is the steady state margin from this segment which you are looking at?
I think Q3 is a good base reference to use, and we are going to build on that.
Okay. So believing that we have a big project in hand, so any steady state margins that you can give us?
I can't give you an exact number on that, but I can give you a sort of indication. Suryakant will know better than me.
Gross margin is around 20%.
Okay.
20-22.
What we look at? Yeah.
Okay. And sir, secondly, the 9 months run rate has been 542 crore. So where do you see closing this year? Basically, Q4 being the strongest amongst the quarters.
So I don't give guidance. I will tell you that, like I answered in my own way, that there is some level of growth that is expected that happened in Q3. And I expect a similar level of growth to lead through to Q4.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
So that was the last speaker for today.
All right. I think you have someone else who's just added in. Okay. We'll hang on for 5 more minutes if there's anything else. Otherwise, we can wrap up.
We have one speaker.
All right.
Ankit Gupta, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please ask your questions.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to you, Aditya, and the entire team of Fedor for very positive numbers.
Thank you.
On the opportunity on the flare side, you know, what will be the how big will be the opportunity for the kind of projects that we have received from ONGC, let's say, you know, something like demountable flare stack. So, you know, what can be the, how big is this opportunity and, you know, how recurring is this? You know, you're saying next year we'll have a large base of FEP contributing at least, you know, 120, 130 crore kind of top line. So how do you see, and you're saying you want to grow on that. So if you can talk about the kind of opportunity which is available to us on this segment.
Yeah. So firstly, yeah, thanks. So Ankit, there's two things. One is that number that you mentioned for next year is a little bit higher than what I initially indicated. So just keep that. It's a little bit lower than that in reality. Having said that, look, it's not a question of only opportunity. One is you have the domestic market, which is going through a lot of its own capacity addition and stuff like that comes up. But this division is not only about what is a market opportunity. It's also about what is getting built up and then taking orders that fit into our framework of how we want to do things. So besides flares, what a flare basically does is it treats effluent gas. So it's basically in a pollution control system from that. So with that, there is many synergies that align along to flares in different ways. And there's a lot of work going on to reduce emission norms and all of that. And there's a lot of design capability we have internally to keep dealing with that sort of stuff, which leads in the process equipment part of the space. I don't think market size is the issue. I think market size for the types of orders that we want to do, build up our track record, get our engineering correct is what matters. And if we're looking at it, as I keep saying, we have no desire to go 4X in this division. We have no desire to suddenly have, you know, massive upward cycles and stuff like that. We want to just do it on a very steady state level. The market is definitely there for what we want to do as per our requirement at the moment. So I'm quite comfortable with that in terms of market capability. There's also a market that exists abroad in the Middle East and stuff that right now we're just staying away from a little bit, but that's not to say that that opportunity will not be looked at as we strengthen ourselves in the Indian market more with delivery.
Sure. And on the overall, industry growth, with the kind of CapEx cycle which is happening and expected to, grow further over the next few quarters or in the medium term at least, how do you see the industry growth happening on the consumable side, let's say for FY24, given how the other industries or your customers are doing currently?
I think it's fairly in line with what you're seeing in Q3, and maybe a little bit up and down on that. Yeah, but I think that's a fairly good indicator.
Sure. Thank you, and I wish you all the best. Yeah.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Ms. Nitiksha Shah. Ms. Shah, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please ask your questions.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, actually, I just wanted to take it further from what the last participant said about the, when you say that you will, grow ahead of the industry, just a fair idea about what the industry growth will be. And how do you feel that, how strong is the CapEx cycle this time? So, and one more thing is will we be benefited by the PLI scheme, and how is that panning out? And you see any kind of hiccups to the CapEx cycle in view of what the world scenario is just now? Thank you.
Thanks. I wish I could answer all your questions. I don't think I can, but I'll try. I can't give you a supply side estimate of what the market growth rate is, except to keep looking at the indicators regarding steel consumption and the other players in the market. That's the only thing I can tell you. I don't have any other data that we look at. And I think the estimation is that it's pretty much along the lines of what you're seeing right now. So I'm going to stay away from answering that question of exactly what I see as the market cycle, as the market growth rate. But like I said, those other indicators should give you some help over there. Your second question was with regard to the CapEx cycle. The CapEx cycle seems to be strong at the moment. It's very hard to look beyond 6 months, 5-6 months, simply because of what the last 15 months were. So it's very hard to keep saying that, oh, it's going to keep running robust like that. There are many factors that could play a role in there. Global liquidity, all of those sort of things, global supply chain, anything else that could come in. But as of now, we have seen for the last, since July, August, a fairly good and positive step-by-step movement upwards. And what I can see for the next few months is it seems to be in line and on track. Beyond that, I don't know. I don't have an answer beyond that. I do know that we are planning for the much longer CapEx cycle and we are working towards that. But it would be hard for me to, confirm that that's going to happen for sure. Is that okay? Sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you,
sir. I'm sorry I can't precisely answer your questions.
Thank you, sir.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Dhaval Shah. Mr. Dhaval, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please ask your questions.
Yeah. Hi, team. Am I audible? Yeah,
go ahead.
I want to understand. As you mentioned, there are many players in India in the business which you are in. If you could help me understand, how everyone is stacked up in terms of the sizes. Like, for example, we are at a quarterly run rate of around 180, 190 crore consumable and equipment combined. So Adore is at a certain market share or a certain place. There is market leader and there are many other players. So how is everyone placed in terms of, you know, and how different are each of them in terms of the sizes? Like your next competitor would be where from you? You are at 180, 190. The next will be at 150, 100. Just want to understand broadly.
Yeah, I think you'd have, so my understanding of the market is you know, there's the two larger players who sort of are at the levels we are, which are public figures in that regard. So you can always get that. Then I think you have a host of, I would say approximately three or four players who are approximately anywhere about 30%, 25 to 30% smaller than us in that regard, that which will accomplish about three or four key players would be in that market. And product basket for some of them, I don't think it's as varied as ours and the other large players is, but a fairly good product basket as well. At least 60, 70% of that product basket may not be as varied throughout. And then below that, you'd have another rung of players who would be 40, 50% of our size, 40% of our size or 50% of our size that would also be there. So, yeah. Okay. Again, depending on the more restrictive sort of product lines,
product basket,
a little more trade, stuff like that. Yeah.
Got it. And in terms of product basket compared to the market leader, how, what is yet to be filled up? Where is the gap?
We don't have many gaps. It's okay. As I keep saying to people, it's not product gaps. It's not a big issue. I think we're pretty much 85, 90%. It's fairly similar in that regard. I don't think that's a big concern. There's some by virtue of being a global leader and being an MNC and stuff like that, which is obviously natural, which we can't always tackle head on. But I don't think it matters to a very large degree in the Indian market, at least not yet. I don't feel it is.
Got it. Given the focus of government on Make in India and you being the only supplier of equipment in India, in any of the government-related projects, is there a requirement to source locally?
There is definitely some favorability that does come. Yeah, we are seeing some favorability does come. That's happening for, I think, all Indian players in various different spaces, not only welding. And there is definitely a push towards it, as long as you're able to meet the technical and commercial requirements. It's not just, you know, blatant. So you can't just disregard that. But yeah, definitely, we are seeing that a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And if say, you know, the third or the fourth player, which you said is 25-30% smaller to you, if they were to roll up their sleeves and, you know, become aggressive, they would be able to penetrate the market with newer products or pricing. What would be your sense?
No, their game plan is primarily pricing. So I don't think that you can't keep changing that game. I mean, that is the game that allows that next level of players to come in. So I don't think that can keep affecting everything. There's a certain, I mean, thing that's there. I think it also depends, scale matters in terms of your distribution capability, scale in terms of your manufacturing capability, being able to ramp up across, having the full product basket. They all matter a lot in that regard. Brand value, of course. So, you know, those things matter a lot. Having said that, they've grown well also in the last few years or whatever it is. And, you know, they've also grown down a certain path. So they're also established in their own way and they'll have their strategies to do that. You know, I don't get into that too much. I don't want to comment on that more than that.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Saket. Mr. Saket, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Hello? Is there or not there?
He's there on call. He had also raised his hand, but maybe he's not there now.
All right. You have anyone else? You can come back to him if required.
Our next question is a follow-up question from Ms. Saloni. Ms. Saloni, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please ask your questions.
Hello? Are we admitting everyone or is this problem happening?
Yes.
Unmute. They're asking to be unmuted.
Ms. Saloni, please ask your questions.
Okay,
I don't think they're being placed in the room correctly. I think you have to relook at that something.
They're in the place, but she'll have to unmute herself.
You try unmuting yourself, please, Saloni. Might help you. Yeah. Above. Yeah, that. You can type it in the box if you want. We can answer it also.
I was trying to unmute myself. Okay. Yeah, thank you. So my follow-up question, sir, is on the players division. Just wanted to understand the bidding system. Is it the lowest bidder? And basically, how does it work? Trying to get the orders
It depends on customer to customer. And there is a bidding system that would take place. But you have to meet certain techno-commercial requirements as well. And when you're dealing with PSUs, it has not much to do with flares only, but in terms of most product lines, there is obviously commercial bidding that matters in terms of being lowest or not. So yeah, it does. But you don't only deal with PSUs, you deal with private customers as well. So both of those come into play.
And so depending on the order size, what kind of capital outlays are basically required in flares?
So I think if you're asking specifically about the Uran project, I think we have a max exposure level of approximately 35 to 40. Yeah. Is what we capped out the entire max exposure. Yeah. Peak exposure level is what we mapped out, and we should be well within that. I think hopefully we should be there. So in general, that should give you a ratio that matters a little bit.
All right. So just a final confirmation from your side, just wanted to understand in terms of the margin profile, is it fair to assume that the consumable will always be leading the segmental margins with around 15-16%, followed by equipments and then flares? Or because we are being aggressive in flares division, can we expect higher returns coming from that segment?
So I think we've got to a base level in terms of consumables that we're kind of good with. And you can build on that a little bit. Equipment has a little bit of potential to pick up and depends a lot on the capex cycle. I think flares, you should see it. You should see an improvement from that as well.
Yeah.
That's the way we're looking at it. So in summation, we should have all three should be a little to deliver a little bit better in this economic environment.
So I can assume equipment being the third, with flares coming in the second in terms of value addition in your returns.
I will resist answering that question if you don't mind. Sorry.
That's all right. Thank you so much, sir.
Our next speaker is Mr. Dhaval Shah. It is a follow-up question. Mr. Dhaval Shah, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please ask your questions.
Yeah, hi. Just a very basic question, given I'm a little fairly new to understanding the business of your company. If you can explain me and help me understand, you know, what exactly is the flares division and what is it about?
Okay, so the flares division is basically through process industries such as oil and gas or steel and stuff like that. There is basically emissions of certain gases that happens. Primarily, it could be like a sulfuric acid, H2SO4 type of thing, or sulfur, that sort of stuff, nitrogen, sulfur based in terms of its emission. That needs to be controlled. You can't let that out in the atmosphere. So what you normally would do is you'd flare it through a certain technology, and we work on that flare tip. If you ever look at in a refinery or any of these other things that I mentioned, you'll see a flame burning.
Yeah. Yes.
That
yeah.
Flame is coming out of a tip that hopefully we've made. So that's basically it.
So it would also be a lot used in chemical industries as well?
Yeah, there is. And there's a lot of what I was sort of leaning on earlier in terms of the complementary products that will come into the chemical industry as well. Yeah.
Okay. And you were also mentioning about some, and then the subordinate process equipments also use. You were mentioning something about process equipment. What was that?
Process equipment basically means that when it comes to heat exchangers, any other process equipment, we're not restricted in terms of flares, but similar type of process equipments where you're treating something or doing something like that is also what the division works on.
Okay, so you provide the engineering
design, engineering, fabrication of those kind of things. Correct. Yeah.
Okay, so there you might be buying it from someone and then doing the fabrication and along also doing
most of what we will do today. 95% of what we will do today is where we do the engineering and the design as well. As I said, that's where the value addition comes. So there's a lot of stuff that comes our way that we don't take simply because it's not got enough value addition.
Understood. Okay, great. Thank you.
So we have
another
follow-up question from Mr. Jason. Mr. Jason, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please ask your questions.
Yes, thanks for taking my question again. Actually, just one question I had, you know, as Adolf Fontech Parkin also is there on the call. Just wanted to ask in terms of an outlook. So Adolf Fontech is mostly the refurbishment and repair of products. So how is the outlook for them in this current scenario? Just wanted a general sense of the outlook.
It's fairly robust as well. I mean, the outlook is there. I don't think you can see as bigger necessarily growth as you would in a conventional fabrication sort of business. But at the same time, there is definitely opportunity for growth over there as well.
Okay. And in terms of the flares equipment, you said we have a small division doing heat exchangers and other equipment as well. So so GMM Pfaudler also is a company which does these things. Probably we might be at a small level, but do we compete with them also in this product?
We don't particularly compete with them. It's a different sort of market that we work on, but yeah, it's slightly different in that.
Slightly different. Okay. Sure. That's all. Thanks.
One investor, Mr. Akshay, has asked one question on the chat box. As to how long will it take for the merger to happen between Adolf Fontech with Adolf Building? How long will it take for the merger to happen?
As we said, the application has been filed before NCLT, and you know we sort of in their hands at the moment. We've got an indicative timeline that we would like to see it. I'm very, very hopeful we'll close everything in this calendar year. So that's basically where we are.
So one more question from Mr. Akshay Kothari. Mr. Kothari, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please ask your questions.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to know, in this flares division, would there be opportunity on the FGD side as well?
Opportunity on the, sorry, what is FGD? I didn't understand that, sorry.
Flue gas desulfurization, which is COPP 2026 guidelines. Refineries are bound to follow that guidelines.
Yeah, not there. So
okay, I would not say we're very into that entire thing, but you know, I mentioned earlier that there are some ancillary product lines very related to flares that might come into that part of it. But yeah, we could be in that in a small way from that angle. But no, the fact that I don't know exactly what you talked about, I presume means it's not exactly on our radar at the moment. So
Aditya sir, that was last speaker for today.
Okay, is there anything else at all? Anyone else? Thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it. We've been advised to try and do this every quarter, and we will keep doing that every quarter and keep driving it. And thank you for taking the time to attend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.